Good morning.
Please pray with me. God, your word and your spirit are living and moving in this place. I pray that whether through my words or in spite of them, your word may be manifest in each heart in this place. Amen. Is anyone here a follower or a fan of the whole Marie Kondo, tidying up with Marie Kondo phenomenon? Yeah, good. So for those of you who don't know, Marie Kondo gained fame through writing a book several years back about decluttering your home. And recently, the popularity has taken on a new level through a show that she has on Netflix, where she goes to different people's homes and helps them organize and declutter their homes. And I resisted this trend for a long time because I thought, I'm a decluttering goddess. What could this woman possibly teach me? The answer, of course, is how to fold my underwear. But that's not actually why I started watching. I just started watching because I had a friend who said, her presence is just so warm and reassuring. And I thought, I could use some of that right now. So I started watching Tidying Up with Marie Kondo, and I found that she was just rapidly becoming my pastor. Her entire approach, her entire being just sort of emanates gratitude and joy. And it's become a catchphrase now that many of you may know, even if you don't watch the show, that she tells people that the secret to decluttering is you take every object that you own and you ask, does this spark joy? But that actually wasn't what captivated me about her. That wasn't the moment that really reached my heart. What really just changed me was when she said, if you decide to part with an item, thank it. Give it thanks for having been in your life before letting it go. I had always seen clutter as an adversary to fight or something to be controlled. Decluttering was a way of saying, my possessions are not the boss of me. I am the boss of my possessions. And getting rid of items was a way of showing that. But at the end of the day, it was a farce. It wasn't true. Because the simple fact of the matter is, I need clothing and Tupperware and extra nails. I am attached irretrievably to things. I am dependent upon material things. I'm a materialist being. I may not live by bread alone, but I live in part by bread. Oh, wretched man that I am! But then in comes Marie, who says, in effect, be grateful for the clutter. Because each of those things have served you in some way. That old toaster sitting up on my shelf that got replaced by the toaster oven, it once served a purpose, and an important purpose. Relate to the clutter with gratitude. That just blew my mind. And, you know, this whole decluttering craze, this whole Marie Conmarie method phenomenon, it's not about the stuff. And Marie Kondo knows this. She said in an interview that the reason for her popularity is not because our homes are cluttered. It's because our hearts are cluttered. Yes. Our hearts are cluttered with so much that pulls us in so many different directions. And I think that's the battle that Paul is describing in this lament in the letter to the Romans. This battle with the anger and the resentments and the pains that cause us to act in ways that hurt ourselves and hurt others, even though we don't want to. So perhaps it's not a coincidence that Thanksgiving is also a major theme for Paul. He tells the Philippians, "Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petitions, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God." And to the Thessalonians, he says, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances." He even concludes this particular bout of existential angst in his letter to the Romans by saying, "Thanks be to God." So this struggle with sin and prodigious thanksgiving are living side by side. Now, I had long seen this thanksgiving in Paul's letters, this emphasis on thanksgiving, as a way of focusing intentionally on the good and kind of looking away from the bad things. Like, when things are going wrong, focus on what's good in your life. Focus on the joy, not the clutter, not the things that are causing you pain and stress. But Marie Kondo made me realize that I was not giving Paul enough credit. Thanksgiving is much richer and more complex in his worldview, in these texts that we read. It's not just focus on the good things. Thanksgiving is not a way to avoid the mess. It's a way to navigate through it without getting stuck. Giving thanks offers a passage through this deep struggle that Paul is describing in the text that we read, this existential battle with all of the pains and the burdens that accumulate in our hearts and in our bodies over the course of our lives. Like the clutter in our poems, these pains and these burdens once served a purpose. They served some kind of purpose. Anger is a gift. It allows us to set boundaries when our dignity is being encroached upon. It allows us to get what we need. Fear is a superpower. There's an episode of Doctor Who that said that, and it just clicked for me. Fear is a superpower because it heightens our senses and makes us alert to threats to our existence. And pain is a gift. It warns us that our lives are in danger. We need to change course. Something is causing us harm. But by the same token, all of these things, pain and hurt and anger, can also be those things in our members that Paul is talking about that cause us to sin, that cause us to lash out against people who don't deserve it, that cause us to harbor resentments that poison ourselves. So Marie Kondo and the Apostle Paul have me asking this morning, what if, instead of reviling these impulses, reviling these burdens that cause us to do things that we regret, what if we give thanks? What if we give thanks for the way that they serve us and then invite them to go? Give thanks, and then let go. This was my other mistake in my understanding of thanksgiving. I thought it was a way of holding on to something. Giving thanks as a way of renewing my relationship and saying, "I'm so glad you're here. Continue on with me." But thanksgiving can also be a way of saying, "You have served me, and now you can go." And God really drove home this message for me when, as I was watching Tidying Up with Marie Kondo, Ariana Grande dropped a new album entitled Thank You, Next, from which I take the title of this sermon. And I offer it with some ambivalence, because I have some ambivalence about Ariana Grande's album, because musically speaking, it's a trap album. And trap music comes out of urban African-American communities, particularly Atlanta, has emerged over the past 20 years that speaks to the struggles of drug addiction and violence and poverty. And so Ariana Grande's, you know, as a white woman, a pop princess, kind of queen of pop music, her album really represents kind of the full-on appropriation by white mainstream music of this style of music. And they could really do a better job of acknowledging and advocating for the communities that gave them the style of music that clearly helped Ariana Grande work through some difficult stuff in her life. That just does not spark joy. But, you know, so I want to say before moving on with this song, which did speak a word to me despite its problematic beat. But before I do that, I just have to say, you know, shout out to the Migos, Childish Gambino, Cardi B, who gave us this style of music that is clearly speaking to so many people in this age. But anyway, so in this song, the message the message is, you know, she's expressing gratitude for the relationships in her life that failed and caused her pain. And she expresses gratitude not as a way of holding on to them because they're exes, but to let go, to move forward and to move through the pain. She thanks them for all the things that they have taught her. And then she says, thank you. Next. I am moving on to the next thing, holding what gifts I can take from this pain, from this anger, from this hurt. And this was so profound for me because in my experience, the most intimate relationships are the spaces of greatest struggle when it comes to sinning against my sibling or my neighbor. They are the site of the most frequent anger and pain, and the place where I have caused the most damage to myself and to others. So for this message to come from me about giving thanks in these places of intimate relationships, that where I hold the most resentment and I hold the most pain, that was a profound word. So Ariana's got me asking, what if in that moment of thinking about these past relationships, that and being angry at myself for what I've done, being angry at myself for what I continue to do and the ways that I've failed, instead of letting it push me to be bitter, instead of letting it weigh me down, I offer thanks. I offer thanks for the pain and the anger that have shown me that I am vulnerable and I have let myself be vulnerable. And that is a beautiful thing. That's a gift. I think this practice of gratitude, this pausing to give thanks, even for those things which weigh on our hearts, even for those things which we are ultimately saying goodbye to, gives us a little space to act more wisely and compassionately, both with ourselves and with others. Giving thanks creates a sort of a buffer between you and the temptation to act unwisely based on that fear, that pain, that anger, and decide on a different course of action. Like, it's okay to get angry when you're talking to the customer service representative from Verizon and you're not getting what you need. But that doesn't mean that that customer service representative deserves the brunt of your anger. So give thanks. Give thanks for this impulse that is leading you to advocate yourself and seek what you need, and then invite it to go. Say thank you. Next. As you face the daily struggles that this life brings this Lenten season, I invite you to seek out those moments in which you can express gratitude, not just for the good things, but for those things that linger in your life that no longer serve you. I invite you to give thanks and to let go. In that moment of anger before lashing out, the moment of pain before collapsing inward, Give thanks for these responses. They safeguard our lives and our well-being. And also, give thanks for the reason that Paul ultimately gave thanks. Because these struggles, these deep pains, these mismatched pieces of our lives ultimately are held in the deepest, most affirming grace that surpasses our understanding. God's got us in this. That's the ultimate message of Lent. It's not, let me try to be more spiritual, more disciplined, more holy. It's trust that even if you don't fit that mold, those molds of holiness and spiritual discipline, even though you continue to struggle with the mess and the ambiguities of human existence, you have been and continue to be formed and shaped into something beautiful and glorious. So give thanks. Give thanks and journey on. Amen.